And welcome to the worship service here at New Life. It's been really a wonderful week. We are in the midst of a 40-day season of prayer and fasting, seeking the face of God, asking Him to give us a fresh pouring out of His Holy Spirit, and that we would overcome our fear and reluctance and resistance to oppose anything that He wants to do in us or through us. And it's been a wonderful first week. So we will be announcing soon our next Fresh Encounter service. We have two more planned for this time. And also we're into the second week, where this week the emphasis is family. So thank you for all who posted your testimony cards and your prayer requests, for your own personal requests. We're going to continue to pray for those things. But now you want to add what you are asking God to do in your family, perhaps your marriage. So we want to be praying not only for our own families, but each other's families. And so if you will fill those out and post those, people are praying and pausing to read the things that are posted on our prayer wall and pausing to pray for you and with you. Also, the men's meeting on Saturday morning, I thought was fantastic. The theme was sharing the gospel in the workplace, and two of our men shared from their own experience, sharing Christ, completely different work environments, but it was inspiring, it was practical, encouraging. And so if you are, especially if you are new to New Life Church, and men, you want an opportunity to connect with the men in our church. That's a tremendous way to do it. That was a very, very sweet time. Now, speaking of guests, there are a number of guests here today. Some are here to celebrate Jim Crosman's baptism in just a little while. And so a very special welcome to you, and thank you for coming. Today means so much, not only to Jim, but to all of us. And there are some who are here for Logan Stafford's baby dedication and Lydia Herr's baby dedication. And so if you're visiting to witness that, a very special welcome to you. And if you're just visiting in general, visiting again, we're so happy that you're here. We want to get to know you better. We want to know how to pray for you and how to encourage you in these days. Now, I want to tell you about something we're doing next hour. Of course, there's a walk group. But in the library, I'll be leading a little workshop on how to gain confidence in public prayer. All right, see if you can identify with these comments. I came across an article online that was only, all right, 2 pages. The next 40 pages were comments from people saying, thank you so much, because I thought I was the only one that was very uncomfortable, if not terrified, about praying out loud with other people. And so here's one comment. So nice to hear I'm not alone. I've had this fear all of my Christian life, many, many years. I'm in a Bible study, and after prayer requests, was asked to close in prayer. My response was, no, I'm not good at that. I feel embarrassed that I couldn't pray, but I'm terrified not just to pray in a group, but to do any kind of public speaking. I pray with my husband and daughters, but it's really hard for me in front of other people. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. My group leader looked at me like I was nuts when I said no. Okay, can anybody identify? This comment, wow, I've just been in tears after reading this. I just joined this group now, and I'm so touched and blessed to know that I'm not alone in this struggle. My husband is a public figure. He motivates, counseling, preaches, and this is so tough for me because I can't do any form of public speaking, and it hurts me when I get put on the sidelines just because it's like I'm useless. I can't even stand up and pray out loud. This has tormented me for so many years. sometimes numb the pain by not going to church at all. It hurts me so much. I'm so tired of this pain. Hey, 40 pages of comments like this from people who knew and loved the Lord, know and love the Lord, and serve the Lord, but have this deep-rooted fear, discomfort about praying out loud. So during this 40 days, we're going to minister to you if that's your situation. And this workshop is an opportunity to give you practical ways to overcome that fear. I think it could be life-changing for you. And so that'll be in the library. But give me a moment to put on dry clothes after baptism. So I will be there. Just give me a moment. All right. Well, we want to come to the baby dedication part right now. And let me grab my Bible. Give me a second. And if you would turn to Psalm 127 for just a moment. Psalm 127. There are many places where God tells us his heart for children. None more than in this beautiful and wonderful psalm. And here at New Life Church, we want to have God's heart for children. I believe we do. I believe this is a strength of our church. And I think this has been our church's testimony that we want to give our children our best people to teach them and train them. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children," notice verse 3, "children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Well, let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we are a people filled with thanks and filled with anticipation. We thank you, Lord, because of all that we've experienced by your grace and your generosity this past week. We thank you for how, by your power, Lord, people are experiencing change. And for some, even radical change, as we'll hear more later. How we praise you for the power of the gospel, that you are still saving people from sin and rescuing people from darkness and guilt, and shame and judgment, and making them new creations in Christ. And thank you for this first week of our 40 days, and for all who are participating, for a wonderful Fresh Encounter service on Wednesday, for all who participated. Lord, I believe that you're bringing us together, that our hearts are beginning to beat with your heart, that we want for us what you want for us. Lord, if we do delight ourselves in the Lord, you will give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, you're helping us to delight in you and to know that you are good, and that your will is good, and that your gifts are good, and that we're foolish to want something outside of your will for us. Lord, I pray that you be glorified as Jim follows you in believers' baptism. Lord, thank you for the miracle of his salvation. Thank you that he has a testimony, your desire to follow you the rest of his days. And Lord, we give to you our baby dedication. We thank you for these precious families. Lord, we love them so much. May you get the honor and glory, and may all of these families in particular be blessed today. May for the Crozman family and the Stafford family and the Herr family, might this be a day they'll always cherish and always remember. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, beloved, baby dedication is a joyous time, not only for these families, but for Christ Church. And we're saying three things this morning as we dedicate these babies. One, we are saying that these children are precious to God, that their lives are sacred because they have been made by God in His image and made for God and His purposes. Second, we're saying that while these children are innocent and beautiful, we recognize that they were born with a sin nature, like their mommies and daddies and pastors, and because of that, they were born separated from God. And so as they grow in their understanding of the gospel, not only as their parents teach them the gospel, but as we as the church teach them the gospel, they will one day recognize their need to confess that they're sinners and helpless to save themselves. Third, this dedication declares that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the rescuer of men and women and boys and girls. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now, God has given parents the primary responsibility of teaching children the things of God and modeling a God-honoring life for them to see and follow. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. "These words which I am commanding you," speaking to the parents, "shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So notice just a couple things there. We as parents are to have the Word of God on our hearts. That means not just knowing them in our head, but meditating on them. As Paul said in Colossians 3, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you." And that's why we're constantly encouraging you to be studying the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture, meditating. There's only, again, two times you should be meditating on the Scripture, and what are they? Remember, Psalm 1, the only two times you should be thinking about the Word? Night and day, that's all, just night and day. So as the Word of God is coursing through mom and dad's and grandma and grandpa's spiritual veins, they are the ones primarily equipped to help their children understand what it is to love God with all their heart. And notice verse 7, this isn't just a synagogue thing or a church thing. Notice it is an every moment of every day thing. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Well, I remember when our kids were little, perhaps our most precious parenting memories, or many of them, were at bedtime. I don't know about your kids. Mine were rarely ready to go to sleep when it was bedtime. And so that was an awesome time to talk and to pray. And how precious to hear our children say, "Hey, Dad, will you pray for me?" And to kneel by their bed and talk about the day and talk about the things on their heart. And so the Scripture says exactly that, that everything in life is a spiritual object lesson. Right? Now, there are examples of child dedication, baby dedication in the scripture. We see in the book of 1 Samuel, Hannah and her husband Elkanah dedicating Samuel to the Lord. And in the book of Luke, Jesus is dedicated to God in the temple by Mary and Joseph. Now, what did Jesus think of children? Well, he considered children precious and of infinite worth. He held them up as examples of how to trust. You've no doubt heard Luke 18, verse 16. It says, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Apparently popular in the day is that children should be seen but not heard, that they were nuisances that didn't belong in important conversations, and they tended to be pushed to the side. Jesus said, don't do that. He welcomed them, and he hugged them and opened his heart to them. Now today, we're not only dedicating these precious children to God, but also their parents. The parents are publicly pledging to obey the command of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:4. And I'm going to read to you from the New Living Testament. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." So both Old and New Testament are in complete agreement. All right, so at this time, I'm wondering if the Herr family would come and stand on the platform behind me. Tried to wait till the last moment for the kids' sake, and if the Stafford family would come. And Ella and Roland are most welcome to join you if you all want to come. Good morning. You guys can slide down here. Abigail, are you really that big? Goodness.
Hi, Miss Ella.
Gabriel.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Ella. Hello, Roland. Logan. So first, the covenant that the parents, for the parents. We'll start with the Herrs, Dan and Rebecca. Do you hear this day recognize, before we even do that, let me introduce everybody, okay? Joel and Kara Stafford and their beautiful children, Ella, Roland, and Logan Matthew Stafford. Hello, I'm your pastor. It's nice to meet you, nice to see you. And this is the Herr family, okay? Dan and Rebecca and Abigail, Gabriel, Isabel, and Lydia Lynn Herr. What's that, sweetie? Okay, that's cool. All right. You can tell me after. All right, you can tell me after church, all right. So, Dan and Rebecca. Do you hear this day recognize that Lydia is a gift from God, trusted to your love and care? And if so, say, we do. And you're free, if you want, to take your mask off while you're up here. Okay. Do you dedicate Lydia to God, that she may call on the Lord Jesus to be her Savior, and that she might live the life God created her to live? If so, say, we do. And then do you offer yourselves to God as his instruments to bring up Lydia, that is to nurture her with God's enabling in the training and instruction of the Lord, seeking to model a life of sacrificial love, grace, and truth before her? If so, say, we do. All right, very good. Joel and Kara, do you hear this day recognize that Logan is a gift from God entrusted to your love and care? And if so, say, we do.
We do.
Yeah. Good boy, Roland. Do you dedicate Logan to God that he might call on the Lord Jesus to be his Savior, that he might live the life God created him to live. If so, say, we do. And do you offer yourselves to God as his instruments to bring up Logan, that is to nurture him with God's enabling and the training and instruction of the Lord, seeking to model a life of sacrificial love, grace, and truth before him? If so, say, we do.
We do.
All right. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to covenant now as a church. Will you, members of New Life Church, offer yourselves to God to support and encourage these dear parents and to be godly examples before their children, even as you teach them, pray for them, minister to them in the course of church life in the days to come? If so, say, we do. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for this joyous occasion. In the name of your dear son Jesus, who taught us to love and receive these little ones, we dedicate Logan Matthew Stafford and Lydia Lynn Herr to you. We pray they will call on you at an early age. We pray that they will know that they are dearly loved by you, their heavenly Father, and by your son Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord. May they lay hold of that for which you lay hold of them, to joyfully live the life you created and save them to live in their generation, so that Logan and Lydia will give a good account on the great day. May they grow up excited to be in church, loving their God who made them and died for them and is coming back for them one day. May they have wonderful memories of the people of God who love them well. And help us to model the love of Jesus to their tender hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, before you leave, I have a very brief pastoral blessing for each of the babies, and then some gifts we have. All right, now, Logan, your name has two meanings. First, it means, and this is significant because Logan's dad is a Marine, combat Marine veteran. But, amen. Did you know Logan means little warrior? Isn't that awesome? So the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And so, Logan, may you grow up to be a faithful soldier of Christ, mighty in spirit, mighty in the scriptures, and mighty in prayer, well fitted with the whole armor of God, and skillfully wielding the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to defeat Satan and his host. May courage and faith subdue all fear. But his name has a second meaning, which is precious. Logan also means little hollow, little hollow. Now, a hollow is a valley. It can also be a hole, a depression, a cavity. And so as I meditated on that, what came to mind was a yoke. The neck is placed in the hollow of the yoke. Lamentations 3:27 says it is good for a man that he should wear the yoke in his youth. So as you submit to Christ and learn of him, who likewise submitted to the Father, may your soul experience the rest and peace promised by Jesus. And now for Lydia. Lydia, sweetie, your name has two meanings. It means beautiful one and noble one. So the first person to come to Christ in Europe was Lydia. She was converted under the Apostle Paul's ministry in the city of Philippi. She had the beauty of holiness as a worshiper of God. And was a noble one who ministered to Paul and Silas in her home as one judged to be faithful. So, sweet Lydia, in a culture that worships physical beauty, may you remember the proverb that says, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." May you reflect the beauty of Jesus as you walk with him, your gentleness, your compassion, your love for God, and others, your kindness, your humility, and contentment. While being a beautiful woman is a gift from God, being a beautiful person is far more valuable and beautiful. A noble one is a woman of excellent moral character. May you in every part of your life demonstrate the beauty and nobility of belonging to Jesus. Proverbs 31, 25, and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom. Teaching of kindness is on her tongue. All right, so Joanne's going to help me. We have some gifts for both families. So some of you may have seen these before, baby's first Bible. And so there's one for Logan, one for Lydia. And then we have, and this has been just such a gift, Sally Lloyd-Jones is the author of the Jesus Storybook Bible. I think some of you parents have that for your children, so they'll receive that. In addition, in those envelopes, we have not only a certificate for them to remember today, May 23rd, 2021, but there is a letter for math for Logan and Lydia to open on their 18th birthday, which is a special message from the church and the pastor. All right? So, let's see. Logan, this to your mom and dad. Sweet Lydia, Dan. Okay. Thank you. And these are for Lydia. Thank you. All right. All right, let's show them our appreciation. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. What beautiful families. You kids did so well. Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. You all did very well. They were engaged, weren't they? All right, now, something I don't think I've ever experienced in more than 40 years of pastoral ministry. On the same day we have baby dedication, we're having baptism. And so, well, how do those two relate? Well, they really relate in a powerful way. And so I would have you go to the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. That's the one we're most familiar with, Matthew 28. Even though the Gospel, the Great Commission gospel mandate is at the end of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. This is the one we're most familiar with. Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So think about this. This baby dedication says we are acknowledging birth. We're acknowledging new life. And we're also accepting responsibility for that new life. That a baby isn't just born into the world and then sent on his way, sent on her way, but the parent said, okay, my job is now beginning. And I'm to bring up that child, to nurture that child in such a way that one day he will leave home and start his own family. Well, in a baptism service, we're bearing witness to the new birth. This morning, while Jim Crossman has been on this earth for a while, he very recently came into the kingdom of God and the family of God through the new birth. And notice we have the same responsibility to newborn babes in Christ that we do to our physical babies. The commission says baptize them. That means identify them with Christ and his church. Baptism does not save you. Think of the birth certificate. First the birth, then the birth certificate. The baby's name, the parent's name, the weight, the date of the birth, the place of the birth. You don't start with a birth certificate, you start with the birth. It would be really nice for moms to fill out a certificate, go to the window at the hospital and say, I'll take one of these, please, a boy if you have one. That would save her a great deal of, but no, it doesn't work. That there has to be a birth, then the birth certificate identifying the baby as not only a human being, but as belonging to a family, an identity. Baptism is your spiritual birth certificate. First, the new birth. The Holy Spirit enlightening Jim to his need for a Savior, giving him the gifts of saving faith and repentance. And one of the fruits of that repentance was him saying, just as soon as it's physically possible, I want to be baptized. That was Jim's message to me. I want to go public. I want the world to know what Jesus has done in rescuing me. So baptism is the spiritual birth certificate. It identifies him publicly with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and also with the body of Christ, the church, with us. Jim, you belong. Jim, you have family. And we are committed to help you now in your new life, to love you, to pray for you, to encourage you, to teach you, and also to learn from you. You, as you live your life, you will communicate things about the glory of God that will so bless us, as you have already. As you have already. So I love that we're doing this on the same day. I love that we're having a baby dedication. And in a sense, a spiritual baby dedication. Okay? And so we're going to continue to worship as Jim and I get ready for baptism. All right? So worship team, if you'll come.